The situation, I think, today is something like this. Could you just do this for me? Just three times, just together like that. All right, one more time. I lied. One more time. So I think what's happening is we got summertime going on out there, and I'm doing something that's a different vibe than the summertime vibe thing. That's what I think is going on. When I thought about focusing on particular songs for our summer services this year, what mostly I was thinking was, oh, this will be some light, summery fare and fun, and it's turning out to be a little bit more serious than that. That was a thick song that I just played for you. Hopefully, what's happening is at least a little like the 2-against-3 beat rhythm that we just clapped out. There is some interest and excitement that can be created, after all, when you put two different thoughts or feelings next to each other. But here we are, peak Saratoga summertime, party mode, and we're going to delve this morning into existential anxiety and faithful agnosticism. This will be fun. Chris Smither is a songwriter, blues musician who's been performing and writing songs for more than 50, going on 60 years. I got to know his music sometime late in the last century. I Am the Ride is a song from his album Up on the Lowdown that he released in 1995. And if you heard that song and thought, I have no idea what that was about, that's probably the common experience, I think, with that particular one. The lyrics to it are pretty opaque. And it's not just that you don't just know what the song is about after you hear it the first time through. I've been listening to the song for, 25 years or more, and I'm still not exactly sure what I think it's about. What amuses me the most about this song really doesn't have to do with the song itself so much as that it got me my first ever Unitarian Universalist job. How could that happen, you may ask? The May Memorial Unitarian Universalist Society in Syracuse had put together a committee of people who were trying to start up, or who wanted to start up, a second Sunday service on Sunday evenings that would be a little of an alternative worship style, a little bit more interactive, and a wider variety of music brought into it. And they were looking for somebody to coordinate the music for it. And somebody called me up, and so I said, that sounds interesting to me. I know nothing about Unitarian Universalism, but if that counts as a service, that sounds interesting. And they called me up. They interviewed me for the position, but they didn't just interview me for it. I auditioned for it. And that was the song I played. I figured that if this was a community that could listen to that song and think, oh, that's a sacred spiritual song, that would be a community I'd want to be in part of. That would be an interesting community. I think one of the reasons I like the song so much is because I don't think I have it figured out. Chris Smither once had this to say about the song. He says, I've never had a song come to me quite the way that one did. The lyrics happened in three separate bursts. And in each case, I wrote the verse so quickly, it was as though I was taking dictation from some other side of my brain. The song means a great deal to me. But when I was through, I thought, I'll play this, and nobody's going to get it. And yet, it's turned out to be one of everybody's favorite songs. It's certainly been a song of his that I've kept coming back to. It actually inspired a short independent film called The Ride, which I've never been able to see, but it's not just me who's been returning to this song. I keep coming to it, asking questions, leaning into the images and words of it and the things in it that I don't understand. When a religion has the most potential to become dangerous is when it thinks it has everything figured out. There are jokes about Unitarian Universalism being a religion about following the question mark rather than the cross, but I think one of the most important things for a faith tradition to do is to encourage openness to mystery and wonder and doubt and questions. The first verse of the song is maybe the least interesting of the three, maybe because it's just, I think, saying exactly that. We should be suspicious and anxious about a faith that leads people like a drum instead of encouraging us to sympathize, to be open. We live in a world of uncertainty, and it makes sense that falling in line with a drumbeat could be comforting and attractive, but that way lies ruin, or at least that's the image in the song. The other two verses of the song start with the singer being asked questions. The second verse, the singer wakes up and gets asked if all my visions and dreams have been answered. And instead of answering that, saying just yes or no, the singer takes the question as an opportunity to reflect on his life. He says, I don't know what to say. I never even pray. I just feel the pulse of universal dancers. They'll waltz me till I die. They'll never tell me why. I never stop to ask them where we're going. Is it that they'll never tell him why he doesn't stop to ask them, or is it just, are those two separate things? They don't tell him why they're dancing him. He doesn't stop to ask. I don't know. Open question for me. Is he just talking about going with the flow? I never stop to ask him where we're going. Does it mean he's just trying to feel the pulse of life and trying to catch that rhythm? For some reason, he isn't worried about the destination. He doesn't ask them where they're going. He's not thinking maybe about salvation or an afterlife or what this religion says the world will end as. He's just dancing, waltzing, trusting. He doesn't know. He says, the holy, the profane are all helplessly the same, wishful, hopeful, never really knowing. For a second at least, let's leave aside how the holy and profane could be the same and think about the second part of that. They're about being wishful and hopeful, about never really knowing. Maybe the difference between the holy and the profane is the relationship they have with wishing and hoping and never really knowing. Maybe the difference between the holy and profane is about how comfortable they are with the not knowing. If the wishing and the hoping is about getting to the end of the questions, getting to the end of the wishing and the hoping, is that profanity? Is that a way of understanding what profanity is? If you want to have it all figured out, what you're wishing and hoping for is the end of wishing and hoping. Could it be that the holy isn't about an end to wishing and hoping? What if the holy is in the wishing and the hoping, the never really knowing? The last verse of the song starts with a question that is about belief. They asked if I believe, do the angels really grieve, or is it all a comforting invention? It's like gravity, I said. It's not a product of my head. It doesn't speak, but nonetheless commands attention. There's a part of me that wants to kind of laugh at that last bit. But then the rest of my brain says, you don't really understand what's going on there. I wonder if there isn't some frustration coming out there. Do any of you have people in your life who keep asking you if you believe? Do you believe? Have you ever gotten that question? Have you been in spaces where you get that question kind of over and over again? Do you believe? It's barely a question at all, really. It's a question that thinks it already knows the answer, because if I don't believe, the answer is that I should, right? I mean, what if it was a different question? I mean, listen to the difference between someone asking, do you believe? That feels much different than if they had asked, what do you believe? That's a really different question. The second question is about interest and curiosity and doesn't assume it knows the answer. It's what I like to think of as an honest question. The thing about belief is that I don't think it's an either-or thing. It isn't all or nothing. It isn't a comforting belief or nothing. Pay attention to the pulse of your living and the pulse of the living that is happening around you. And instead of either or believing, let's pay attention to, say, gravity, something that's real in your world that you're experiencing. Let's try to let go to our own attachment to our own creations, to the way we think it is or ought to be. Let's try to get outside of our own heads and just maybe pay attention to gravity, the fact that gravity is real. Whether or not we give it attention, it is going to command our attention sooner or later. Every one of us who has fallen knows that. Let's get out of our own heads. The last four lines of the song go like this. I don't care what it means or who decorates the scenes. The problem is more with my sense of pride that keeps me thinking me instead of what it is to be. I'm not a passenger, I am the ride. So instead of solving the questions about the meaning of life or the existence of God, who is the one that is decorating these scenes, the singer admits that the real issue to deal with is actually something else. The problem is more with my sense of pride that keeps me thinking me instead of what it is to be. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but let's stay with that pride for just a moment. Perhaps just long enough for each of us to remember at least one of the ways that we've been stuck in thinking me. There's been at least one time in your life where you were thinking me instead of what it is to be, perhaps. And let's also pause a moment here and consider how brave Chris Smither as a songwriter is being here in the moment. To me, that line feels honest and vulnerable. The easy choice there would be to say, the problem is over there. You people, get over yourselves. And instead, Chris Smither sticks with his own experience, chooses to admit that this is something that has tripped him up and does trip him up in his own life. The problem is more with my sense of pride that keeps me thinking me instead of what it is to be. If we can get out of our own way, perhaps we can pay attention to what it is to be. All right, so, well, what is it to be? The insight offered by the song is, I'm not a passenger, I'm the ride. I think this is the big koan in this song, the thing to keep meditating on. I think it's probably the line that keeps people coming back to the song. I'm not a passenger, I'm the ride. You're the ride. You're not a passenger. I'm not here to be carried along through the world, through my life. I am the ride. I am the getting there. I'm not the arriving there. I'm not the journey's end. I'm the ride. And maybe even I can help carry others along the way. I can give others a ride. What kind of a ride would I want to be? What kind of a ride could I be? What kind of a ride could we be all together as a community? And maybe here's where I can put a little bit of summer back into this, because I'm thinking about the rides at the fair, right? I'm thinking about the tilt-a-whirl and the Ferris wheel, the roller coaster and the flume. What ride are you? What kind of ride would you like to be? And you don't have to choose just one. Here's what I pray. May we all be brave enough to let go of thinking of ourselves as passengers, people to be served. May we hear the universal dancers and enter into the dance. May we not be prideful. Instead, may we be wishful. May we be hopeful. May we be at ease with the necessary discomfort of never really knowing. May we be at ease with what it is to be. May it be so.